Chapter 22. The Moon Amulet. Anastasia watched as Hallie placed her hands on the glass windows of Nathan's library, eyeing the tall pine trees lining the distant perimeter of Blind Bluff Manor swaying in the wind. She watched Kenneth stepping into his vehicle and driving down the dirt path to the gate. Her fingers picked up on the uncanny residue, possibly left by Nathan or even Veronica. But her face crinkled, showing signs of unclear thoughts. She walked back into the study. Nathan sat at his table, hunched over, scavenging through a stack of books. Remy approached her. "So what's your history with those two?" He referred to Maris and Aiden. "I mean, I know you sired Maris and you practically left her to die. But what about Aiden?"
"That's none of your business."
"Well, I can tell that they make you uncomfortable," he replied, "and it takes a lot to make you feel that way."
"It's nothing."
She walked over to Nathan. She glanced over his shoulder as his eyes glanced over pages in the journal he read. Instead of speaking, Remy's questions came to Anastasia through her thoughts. "What did you do to her?" "Again, that's none of your business." Nathan looked over his shoulder at Anastasia. "The missing piece is here." He pointed to a specific spot on the page. Ignoring Remy, she moved in, reading the cursive writing of Nathan's father. The crescent moon was a powerful symbol used to protect those from evil and dark magic. She glanced at a picture of a crescent moon and read the writing underneath it. "A moon amulet."
"Moon amulet?"
Maris walked over to them.
"Where does it say that?"
She pushed Anastasia aside and snatched the book from Nathan's grasp.
"Is there a picture? What color is it?"
Her questions continued.
"You know about this amulet?"
Nathan asked her. Maris abruptly stopped, and she quickly tossed the book back to Nathan.
"No."
"You're lying," Anastasia replied. "You know what amulet this book refers to."
"I don't know anything."
Maris headed for the exit, but she met Remy, who sleekly moved to stop her.
"Oh,
don't try to run away now." His statement escaped his mouth in a high tone to mock her. "Things are just getting started." Aiden placed his arm in front of Remy and gently egged him away from her. "The amulet was created by the Kashapu, who believed that the gods and goddesses would protect them from evil harm." He stood in front of Maris. "This amulet is just one example of what could go wrong if the magic is used improperly." "My human mother gave the amulet to me before she died," Maris said. "It was a family heirloom that I used to carry around with me."
"Do you still have it?" Nathan asked.
"No, I haven't seen it since." Her voice trailed off. "I don't want that thing near me ever again."
"Kyra gave it to Nathan's father," Aiden said.
"I've never seen it." Nathan began to flip through the threadbare pages again. "According to what's written here, it's in my father's grave, which doesn't make sense."
"Why is that?" Remy asked.
"Because my father wasn't buried. He was cremated."
"So it has to be with your father's ashes along with the piece."
Nathan continued to attack the pages like a maniac. "He didn't have a grave, but it clearly says here that the amulet is with him along with the piece. Kyra did mention that your father's writings were encrypted." Anastasia brought one of the books up to her face and squinted. "Your father may have lied to you." "The only family burial plot I can think of is in Washington State. But the last family member buried there was over a century ago." Nathan sat back in his chair. "But this still doesn't make any sense. My mother kept my father's ashes until she died. In her will, she also wanted to be cremated and for their ashes to be spread. I did just that."
"The picture of the amulet makes perfect sense to me," Maris said. "In those days, the Kashapu invoked the Iara gods to help them with their demon problem."
Remy huffed. "I never understood the interest in superstition."
"You were once Catholic, Remy."
Nathan closed his book and pushed it aside. "You can't tell me that you never believed in religion."
"Oh, You mean the mad being in the sky? Remy joked. When I was a boy, Nathan, I dreamed of the day when I would be old enough to not attend services. While my parents prayed and went to confession, I never brought myself to believe in some magical god and devil fighting for our souls, or that we could be raised from the dead. Where was their god when they were killed before I was made Lamia? He never came. Yes, I was a Catholic, but I use the term loosely. It doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. True, Remy agreed. But that's a conversation for another day. So, how do you explain Demon? Maris asked. Magic created us. Magic can destroy us. If something so complicated can exist, so can what you called the mad being in the sky. There were many mad beings in the sky, Aiden added. Ignoring the conversation, Anastasia opened the last remaining book on the table and began to search the pages. In time, she stopped at an old drawing of three girls, the triplets, with shaven heads, wearing long robes. From a quick glance, she was able to see words such as Amenirdis and Amenirdis ordained servants. Yet the writing only gave a brief description and nothing more. Here is something about Amenirdis. She concentrated on the picture of the triplets. They called her the Dark Mother. She read through the description, picking up information that they all already knew. The page reeked of old ink and cigar smoke. In the corner of the right page, she saw the initials of Nathan's father. Between those initials, her eyes picked up on smaller writing that she couldn't read. She narrowed in, using her acute demon vision, and she awed at her discovery. There's another page number here. Anastasia flipped through the book, looking for page 59. On that page, she looked in the corner, and again, between the initials, she saw another page number leading her to page 101. Page numbers, Nathan repeated in wonderment. If this is the extent of your father's encryption... Remy smiled at the funny thought. He obviously made it small so that the page numbers couldn't be picked up with the human eye or a magnifying glass. Anastasia turned to page 403. Only someone with abnormal sight. She looked at the corner of the page and saw nothing. Like Demon. The page looked blank to human sight, but her eyes picked up on wording on the top of the page. She looked up at Nathan. Journal number 1979, The Journal of Blank Pages. Keeping the book open, she handed it back to Nathan. Nathan rubbed the page. There's nothing here. It's there, and it reads that we, the Journal of Blank Pages, can only be read by someone, human and demon, with the help of the moon's light. Are the other blank journals still in the basement? She saw Nathan's eyes widen, and he immediately stood to his feet. Yes. Immediately, Anastasia rushed out of the room in demon speed toward the basement, with Remy following her. With one of the blank journals resting in his palms, Nathan stood out in the grass of the front yard. He looked up at the sky, trying to align himself and the book to the moonlight. Remy stood next to him and dropped a box full of journals at his feet. I guess we should be thankful that it's not cloudy tonight. Ignoring his statement, Nathan walked forward, eventually finding enough moonlight to begin his search. He looked back to Remy. Nothing. He tossed the book to Anastasia and she glanced at the pages. Also, finding them empty, she dropped the journal and grabbed another one from the box. This one is empty as well. She tossed a journal over her shoulder. They filtered through the empty journals for what felt like forever until they all heard Remy gasp. Well, there you are, pretty, he said with a smile. Nathan grabbed the journal and he raised it to the light. The moonlight coruscated, and when it met the page, black cursive writing suddenly came to light. Anastasia read quickly, knowing that once the moonlight moved away, the writing would disappear and Nathan would have to attempt the process again. What she read fueled her curiosity. The writing described his father's wishes of being cremated. It also spoke of the dark curse briefly, and of the peace Nathan's father had taken from the Brotherhood. Finally, the writing revealed the location of his father's ashes. Wilkes Cemetery. Anastasia knew that cemetery well. It was located just outside of downtown Minneapolis on Washington Avenue. Protected by the Minnesota Historical Society, the cemetery was the first of its kind in the city. Lucius spent most of his time in that location, and so did many researchers from the Brotherhood. "Your father's ashes are buried in a grave with a picture of a crescent moon," she said. "That's where we'll find the piece, and maybe the amulet." Nathan cradled the book in his arms and remained quiet. "You don't have to go," she said. "You can stay. We will find it."
"No, I'm going."
Nathan cleared his throat. "We need to hurry before the sun rises." Anastasia didn't hesitate nor question his decision any further. She couldn't relate to how he felt knowing that the ashes he spread didn't belong to his father. Someone had thought this plan maliciously through. She lifted him in her arms, and once she had a firm grip, she took off in demon speed, heading toward the cemetery with Remy, Aiden, and Maris close behind.